On this first Saturday of the month of July, a month dedicated in a very specific way to the most precious blood of Jesus, we also, of course, honor the Most Holy Mother of God, and especially in this, her shrine, the shrine of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Our Lady, Queen of the Rosary. And today, in a very special way, is a feast, a recent feast. That's why it's not in some of the missals, but it is on the altar missal, as it should be. A feast of a martyr of the church that was canonized in around 1950 by Venerable Pius XII, St. Maria Goretti. And though you do not approach it by any means, you may see in front of the icon of the precious blood of the chalice, with the priestly hands of Christ and all priests, is the first-class relic of St. Maria Goretti. St. Maria Goretti personifies in many ways that which the first Saturday personifies for each and every one of us. We are called to be perfect, to follow in the footsteps of the Blessed Mother, who is the perfect example of one who follows in the footsteps of Christ, her Son, the eternal Son of God become man in her holy and immaculate, ever-virginal womb. And she shows us how to follow and, if necessary, to suffer for Christ. And of course, many people do not like that word, suffer, but it is necessary. It's a necessary word, and it's the key, the only key to heaven. So if you wish to be in heaven someday, then you need to accept suffering, whatever it is that God permits you and God sends you, in whichever way, in whatever manner he sends it. The Blessed Mother accepted it. She knew very well when she agreed to become the mother of the Son of God. What kind of salutation is this? She might as well have said, "Oh my goodness, I feared this, but I can't believe that it's actually happening now. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bear a son. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The one to be born is to be holy, is to be called holy, the Son of God." And so she knew that he would be the suffering servant, particularly prophesied in the books of Isaiah, and that she, therefore, would have to be the mother of the suffering servant. She would have to be the mother of sorrows. Suffering, necessary for salvation. And then we have the example of this young girl in the first reading of today from St. Paul's Epistle to the Corinthians. God tells St. Paul to tell us, he does not choose the wise and the learned and the rich of this world. He uses the stupid of this world. It says it right there, very, very clearly. God does not play with words as we do. We like to cover this and that. He chooses the foolish, the stupid, the poor, the ignorant. It's all there. And of course, St. Maria Goretti, she was one of many children. I believe it was about 10 children in her family. Her parents were so poor that they were tenant farmers. They did not even own the house in which they lived or the land which they farmed. And because the time was propitious, at the end of the 19th century, many, many people were going down to the area south of Rome in the town of Nettuno, which in Italian is Neptune, named after the sea god of the Romans, because it was a sea town. But there were also many swamps, and the swamps were the ideal place for rice to be grown. And so her family did just that. They cultivated and grew and harvested the rice. And most people think pasta is the main dish of Italy, but it's not. It's rice. Go to any real Italian restaurant and you will find the most wonderful risotto recipes, which are among my favorites. Much better than pasta. The pasta is okay, but you have to add sauce to it and then that makes it better. But the risottos have a whole thing about them. So rice, even to this day. And so it was there that this family, in a house that they shared with a widower and his teenage son, Alessandro, who was to be the one, to be the instrument of the knife of God. And so, not long before her death, St. Maria Goretti, this was right at the beginning of the pontificate, or the end of the pontificate of Leo XIII, the beginning of the pontificate of St. Pius X, he had not yet enacted the laws which permitted children to receive confession and communion as soon as they reach the age of reason. Now, some people say it's 7. No, well, for some people it's 4. For some people it's 74. For some people it's never. The way people behave today, most of them don't. Remember what Cardinal Zen said. So, she received communion. She was maybe about 11 years old or so. And not long after that, and she received communion at the Passionist Parish there in Nettuno, where there was a beautiful image of Our Lady of Walsingham, still is there, and the British would go there because of the persecution of the Catholic faith in Great Britain. And so she grew there with the Passionists and with Our Lady. And it was there that she made her first communion, and we still have her clothing, her veil, her mantilla, all the things that she wore for her first communion. In the meantime, Alessandro was a typical teenager without God. When a teenager is without God, of course, adults too, they succumb to their basest instincts. I will not go into description because you know well what I'm talking about. And the ones that do not know don't need to know about it yet. And so he decided that he wanted Maria. She was about 12 or 13 years old. And as Italian girls are wont to do, Spanish girls too, she was developing into a beautiful young lady already, if you get the gist. And so he set his eyes on her. Several times when she was alone with the baby, the latest child. In the meantime, her father died of malaria. Of course, where there is water, there's also mosquitoes, and there's also malaria. So he died, still in his 40s, very young. And it was just her mother, Assunta, and her brothers and sisters, and the baby. And she took care of the baby at home, and cooked, and cleaned, and so forth. So her mother could be out in the harvest. So Alessandro thought out all the statistics and he said, well then, when they're all gone, I will make my move. Well, he made it several times. And several times, Maria told him, how could you? Do you not know that what you are thinking about is a mortal sin? And if you commit a mortal sin, you will go to hell? Most people don't realize that even today. They think it's all right. They think all you need to do is murder or steal millions, and that's a mortal sin. Everything else is okay, because it's just human. Well, I hate to tell you, it's not. And so, Alessandro was repelled several times. In the meantime, Maria was there with the baby, saying the rosary. And the rosary is always very important in the life of a Catholic. And I always tell you, for you ladies, you should never go anywhere without a blessed rosary in your purse. And the gentlemen should never go anywhere without a blessed rosary in your pocket. In your pocket. Now, a rosary is not a necklace. Do not wear around your neck. That is sacrilegious. It is not a necklace. It is not an ornament. You have many things that are ornaments, but not the rosary. The rosary is the instrument of prayer, and it is the instrument that our Lord and our Lady use for salvation of souls. So she was praying the rosary, and then Alessandro, after several failed attempts, goes in, and this time he pushes her, and she rebukes him. You know, we need to do what is God's will. We should not be afraid of the consequences. The devil has his things to do. We have ours because we do not belong to him. If you're tempted, that means you do not belong to the devil. If you're not tempted, if you just agree with his nonsense, then you do belong to him, and then you need to go to confession and clean out your storage closet, your soul. And so, when she repelled him again and told him again that it was a sin, a mortal sin, he took out a dagger, and according to the findings of the doctors, he stabbed her 99 times all over her little body. She did not die. She lingered for 24 hours or more, suffering tremendously. You know, if you stick a dagger in your hand or your belly, I'm sure you'll feel a lot of pain. But imagine 99 times. In the meantime, she was bleeding to death. But there was not much medically that could be done. The priest heard her last confession and gave her the anointing of the sick, the extreme unction, the last anointing of the sick, and then prepared her for death, and she died on this day. And so, I believe it was during the Holy Year of 1950, the Holy Father, Venerable Pius XII, canonized Maria. And of course, the story of Maria Goretti is miracle after miracle. Alessandro was apprehended. Not only was all the evidence there, but he was the only person who could do it. He was arrested. And when she died, at the moment she died in the hospital there in Nettuno, she appeared to him in his cell in the dungeons. And she told him, "I will be praying for you from heaven." Now that's very telling, because she's already saying, in other words, that she is in heaven. And martyrdom is instant sainthood, by the way. And so it immediately began the process of his conversion. At the beginning of World War II, because there was no food and no place to put prisoners, all the prisoners were released by Mussolini, the treacherous anti-Catholic Mason, who was an apostate to the faith, because he was baptized a Catholic. And Alessandro was released, because he had been living, really, a life of holiness ever since that first encounter. And the first thing he did was go to Nettuno, and they told him, Mrs. Goretti has gone. She left. There was nothing for her to do here. And so he hunted for her and went to the north of Italy where she was from and where Maria Goretti was born. And there he went to her house and knocked at the door. You can just see it, one of these little tiny stone avenues that are all twisted, and there are little doors from little tiny houses that everyone had. He knocked at the door, and Assunta opened the door. And at the moment that she saw him, she knew who he was. It had been over 40 years since she had seen him. He was a handsome teenager. He was no longer a teenager nor handsome. Prison life does not lead to being a GQ model. And so, but she recognized him. And what did she do? She opened her arms and she says, "God has sent you. You took my daughter from me. God has sent you to me to replace her." And then she found him a job in a monastery where he died, I think in 1967 or 68. But the thing is, he was with her at the ceremony in the Vatican for her canonization. And what a wonderful thing the prayers of Saint Maria Goretti for Alessandro, who eventually, probably, will be also a canonized saint. Many of the saints of the first four centuries were people who persecuted the church and killed other Catholics. Look at Saint Paul. So, just as the prayers of Saint Stephen converted Saul of Tarsus into Saint Paul the Apostle, so too the prayers of Saint Maria Goretti will convert and will sanctify her murderer, Alessandro. In the meantime, that shows you that you and I have ample opportunity to repent, to do penance, to go to confession, and to convert, so that we may join Saint Maria Goretti and Our Lady of the Rosary of Fatima in eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.